This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go get him.
Driscoll stepping up. Driscoll steps out of a tackle. Running left. Fires into the end zone. Pass is incomplete.
Flag down.
As time expires, but there is a flag.
Illegal forward pass.
Here we go.
Offense.
Oh, okay. Ball game. Fade to black.
We just have that mentality, you know, next game. And focus on this one and, you know, let's start with one and hopefully we can get back to work next week.
We can't change what has happened the first 8 weeks. There's nothing we can do about that. So if you hang on to that, you're going to be in trouble for the third quarter.
Everybody's moving with a swagger. Everybody's on the same page for the most part in those drives that, you know, ended so well for us. We're just a whole morale boost for, you know, the whole team.
How it happened to you, how you handle it. All these games are playoff games for us. You know, we know what they mean. We know it's at stake for the rest of our season. We just got to come in and be prepared to play four quarters.
This is the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. Now, here's your hosts, Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz.
And good afternoon, Chicago. I am Hub with Olin and Patrick alongside, and it's great to be with you all for our Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show right here on The Score. Bears and Rams in primetime this evening, a 7:20 kick. Two teams struggling right now. I would say, I don't want to say going in the right or wrong direction. We don't know what direction they're going in, but the Bears, their struggles, of course, well-documented here around Chicago, guys. The Rams, interestingly enough, are in as big or maybe even bigger trouble than the Bears. They've dropped four of their last six, so they've got two wins in their last six, but those are over the winless Bengals and the helpless Falcons, at least until a couple weeks ago. All of a sudden, the Falcons have put back-to-back wins together. And you've got Jared Goff arguably playing worse than Mitch Trubisky, so it really is kind of a fascinating matchup. I know that we all left feeling a little less than fulfilled from that Bears win over the Lions last week. And then you look at what the Lions did today. They come out and they hang 27 on the Cowboys, and it's hard to figure out, you know, common opponents, anything like that. Patrick, I'm going to come to you first. I don't know where these Bears are at right now. I look around the rest of the league and I don't know what to compare it to and what to make of it.
You know, you just mentioned the Rams, and they look a lot like the Rams, where both defenses are playing pretty well. You know, they've got some studs on each side with Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. And then the Bears offense is struggling mightily. And then obviously Jared Goff and the Rams offense is as well. And both teams' O-lines are not playing well. And today's going to be an interesting day to find out which O-line can play better. And to me, that's the one who's going to win the game. But the Bears just, they can't put everything together. And just to go back to last week's game, you know, they only had, 224 yards of offense against a defense that was giving up over 434, and we saw what they did today, the Lions defense. They just can't get it together, everybody across the board. Even last week when Mitch played decent sometimes during the game, there would be drop passes. There would be offsides. There would be a holding call. And you can't have that on a team like this with the way they're playing right now. Everybody has to be on the same page. They have to play almost mistake-free to get themselves right, because they're just not playing to what we thought they would be at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and if you take a good look at last week, right, and you look at those first three or four fourth downs, it's kind of an example of what they've been all year, right? Like on the first third down, good protection, clean pocket, Mitch just misses Gabriel, right? Not on the second, but on the third, third down, it's a low snap and they get beat. Communication, picking up a game again between the offensive line. And just they're really struggling with that middle games. And by games, I mean a tackle goes one stunts in, the other wraps around. They're struggling with that, so they get pressure. And then they get to the next one, and everything's clean. Mitch steps up, throws it over his front foot, and Gabriel drops it, right? So if you just look at that first four drives, Hub, right there, if you want to know what's wrong with the offense, it's really that nobody's playing well, and then they don't have a guy. They have one guy who, when nothing's there, it's Montgomery. Mm-hmm. he can break a tackle, and he'll get some yards for you.
Yep.
But they don't have a guy right now who's slinging it in the back. By that, I mean Mitch Trubisky, who, unless everything's working for him, he doesn't overcome it, right? So that offense right now, that's what it is. And then, you know, they get that fourth and one on the 29-yard line, and it just kind of kickstarts them a little bit.
Well, and Olin, that's a great segue, because David Montgomery lightly rolled an ankle, is the quote from Matt Nagy, on Wednesday in practice, did not practice Thursday, was limited in practice on Friday. He is a game-time decision. We won't know for another hour and a half or so whether he is able to go tonight. Obviously, Mike Davis gone now. That means that Ryan Nall would be your number one running back. And actually, didn't hear about any roster moves. They didn't bring Kareth White off the practice squad, so that suggests that maybe Montgomery will be able to at least try and go tonight. But so much more than that. I want to get into the whole offensive line thing with the switch in positions last week. And, of course, stuff that has nothing to do with the Bears. I know our audience would be disappointed if they didn't hear from two former NFL greats for their thoughts on what we'll just call the Myles Garrett incident Thursday night, and then the Colin Kaepernick clown show yesterday. We'll get into those things as
we
well.
We know Hub's thoughts on the Kaepernick situation.
Well, you know, guys, let me, the phone number is 312-644-6767.
I know we found out Adam's a fighter. I know that.
And Studs is in there ready to go. He's got the gloves on.
Throw it down.
No one questions that.
Don't even, man.
Yeah, but please, not with Olin or Patrick, because I don't want to clean up the mess, okay?
I would never.
I know. So, guys, we got a ton to get to today. Again, the phone number, 312-644-6767. Let's stay with the Bears. We'll get to our first break. We'll get back and talk about some of the other stuff around the league. Guys, I went home just really kind of annoyed and upset last Sunday night after I heard the post-game press conference. And then I went on Monday, front row with Matt Nagy, and you guys have probably figured out by now, at least at this point, I'm still kind of a Matt Nagy fan. I think there's a balance sheet here, and we got to see where we're going to end up. But when I started hearing about how well Mitch played and then how pleased they were with the switch of James Daniels and Cody Whitehair, I'm like scratching my head. The Detroit Lions came in, I believe it was 30th in the league stopping the run, and held the Bears to 3.4 yards a carry. I know they came in 27th rushing the passer and had 14 sacks on the season and sacked Mitch Trubisky five times. Mm-hmm. And then before I got too carried, I wanted to watch some tape, and I did, and I went back. The offensive line, the communication may have been better, but Olin, you tell me, the play sure as hell wasn't. I mean, I don't know what it was they saw that allowed one of the worst fronts in football to beat them up all day long and feel good about it.
Yeah, and the communication, it really wasn't better. There were calls made, but they weren't working well together or any better than with James at center and Cody at left guard. But the defensive line for the Lions, scheme-wise, they showed up. They ran some of Fangio 6-1 whenever, and that's a hard defense to run against. Whenever the Bears would bring in Lucas, they'd bring an extra D tackle and load the box, which you've been waiting for teams to do. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about that was, and I'm sure you guys caught it, on fourth and one from the 29, the Bears bring in Lucas and two running backs and run a fullback dive. Patricia's in nickel.
Yes.
He's in, for whatever reason. And then he goes to cover two with Gerard Davis in the middle of the field and basically just gives them their first score. But they're just, we went over again, Hub, when one, they're just not all playing well together mm-hmm. right now. And the offensive line, they didn't play well, but you could attribute at least three out of those five sacks to Mitch Trubisky. There was one they faked that the run play with Robinson motioning in. They've used a few times this year on play action, and they wanted to go deep on second down. You never go broke taking a profit. It wasn't there from the beginning, Pat.
Right.
The deep pass wasn't there. Check it down. Check it down to Robinson or the back in the flat.
Is that the one where you're talking about where he looked behind him and saw the guy coming at him?
Yes. Well, yeah, because their play action fake needs work.
Yeah.
Their running back and the quarterback have to work on that because the sell is just not good enough. The linebackers don't even take one step forward mm-hmm. or downhill. So they have to work on that. But, a very uneven performance by everybody on the offense and the offensive line.
Yeah, just to talk about the offensive line a little bit more. You know, you were talking about the communication. One specific play, I think it was James Daniels, gave up the sack or pressure, but there was communication that they went to the wide safety. It was a nickel, you know, there was a nickel front 4-2, and they had a slide protection to the right, and you could see him communicating, and Cody White here is pointing over to the left, and they get over there and they pick it up, but then James Daniels get beat inside.
Well, he really doesn't there, right? Because the guy they're sliding to is the linebacker, Cody and James.
Right.
They have four guys, 4 for 4.
Mm-hmm.
Their linebacker never moved over, so Cody shouldn't leave. Cody should not leave. He should not vacate his area there.
Gotcha.
He should not leave. It's Coward and Massey for the two guys. And furthermore, the guy that he went to wasn't even backed up, so
right.
he couldn't come.
Right.
So old basketball rules, right?
Right?
If there's three receivers and three guys, the guy's not coming,
mm-hmm.
right? Unless that linebacker drops out
sure.
for. But Cody should stay. Should, in my opinion, and I don't. We all don't know what he's been told in that room. But in my opinion, he should stay strong in that A-gap and wait for something to come to him. And as a center, what we like to say there, Pat, like you know, when you do long snapping, you got to stay big.
Yes.
Because when you get small and you vacate, remember where the quarterback is. The quarterback's lined up behind Cody. So where are you going? Why are you going out to get a guy?
That's interesting because I thought James Daniels didn't slide enough over there, but you're saying he was expecting Cody to probably be on that inside half of that left defensive tackle.
Like, you know, whenever you mm-hmm. work in a double team yeah. or two guys are working, it all depends on where that linebacker
sure.
is, right? And as soon as a linebacker drops, I just hold. I hold my gap, and I'm watching because if you look at it, Coward and Massey had the outside picked up.
Right.
Cody had no business being over there.
Interesting.
And that's what I'm saying, like what Hub is saying, where was the improvement?
Well, and so guys, let me tell everybody first that we are being brought to them by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. And just to be clear, I'm not saying that the Bears' second worst offensive performance of the season, which is what that was last week against Detroit with 226 yards, was the fault of the offensive line. What I'm saying is that don't tell me that you made the switch and now things are better,
right.
because I am absolutely convinced that James Daniels was practically built in a lab to play center. I mean, he does not project better at guard than he does at center. Cody does fine at center, other than the bad snaps he got to live with every time he's there. But I think he is built to play guard, and it feels to me, guys, like these guys are now making changes to try and justify what's gone wrong as opposed to making changes to get better. And to me, that's a dangerous difference.
Yeah, and my problem is, and it's something we really haven't talked about, Pat and Hub, but my problem is if you have a communication problem with your center, then if I'm in the building, Pat, the question I'm asking is, how much time have you spent with him, Mitch? Are you guys spending an extra hour a day, an extra hour a morning? Because the center and the quarterback, the communication with those two, okay, on this run play, we're looking for this safety. On this pass play, we're protected here. What I don't see right now, and a fun thing for everybody to do would be this. Pull up a Bears game, turn on a TV copy, and listen to Mitch on third down. And listen to his communication and just watch him. And then pull up the Kansas City Chiefs. And watch Mahomes walk to the line of scrimmage, call out who's coming, tell the receivers who makes them hot you'll see the double point. You guys, the line got this guy, that's the single point. The double point is if these two guys come, you're hot. And listen to what Mahomes is saying because it's the same system, right? So why is it being run differently by one guy than another guy?
I think the answer is simple. I just think he doesn't get it. You know what I mean? I don't think he's smart enough and understands the entire offense yet. I still think he's in the infant stage of trying to learn NFL defenses and also learn Matt Nagy's offense.
Right.
Because you want your quarterback to do that.
Right.
You expect him to do that.
My only issue with that is at the end of the year last year, he was doing it.
Hmm.
I thought. I could be totally wrong, but I thought I seen him make a few points and change some things and point things out and make some checks and I just don't see him doing that. So I don't mind if you move somebody, Hub, if you tried everything,
mm-hmm.
if you spent hours with this guy like, and he kept making the same mistakes. And they might have done that. I don't know that. But all I'm saying is before you move a guy like James Daniels, who could be a really good center, and just say we had a communication problem, which means that's his fault, I want to make sure like you're doing the quarterback center meeting an hour before meetings actually start. And then after practice, another hour of you two guys meeting on this third down, the running back's going to be here. Now, if they got two guys here, we may redirect the point to pick that all up.
So when you were playing, go back to that, what were your meetings like with the quarterback? Because I know that you were in the building all the time and the quarterbacks would always be there early. what were your days like on, say, a Wednesday, Thursday when you were getting ready to play the Rams?
Well, the quarterbacks always met before everybody during your special teams meeting. And you, as a center, you go to those meetings because a lot of times you'd be amazed, Pat, how communication gets lost. Like, I would go to the quarterback meeting, and they would say, on third down, we're pointing to this guy. This is what we're looking at. And then you go to the O-line meeting, and the O-line coach is saying something totally different. And I'm saying, I won't say what I said in the meeting, but I'm saying, now, hold on now. Just so we are on the same page here, they're not saying that in a quarterback meeting. So these things have to get straight, and you'd be amazed how many times it's the coaches messing it up by the way they say it and the way they see it and what they think is going on. But because you're a professional, like you know, Pat, sometimes there's things we got to get right ourselves.
Sure.
And if you're having problems with communication, my question to the Bears, my question, if you give up 5 sacks against the Lions, like Hub said, who are not very good at getting to the quarterback, my question is the O-line, the quarterback, and the running backs and the receivers, are they holding their own meeting? Are they spending extra time in there to get this right? Because you are the 29th ranked offense in the league. You're averaging 18 points a game. And if we take out the special teams touchdown and HaHa Clinton Dix's touchdown, you're not doing very well. So if you're not holding your own meeting, then there's a problem. And that really falls on the leaders on that offense. Quarterback, center, probably Allen Robinson. I don't know who plays tight end for them now. But whoever the leaders are, they should all be in one meeting room, and they should be talking about blitz pickup, third down. How can we stay on the field? Because we got to stop going three and out.
Guys, shame on me. I took the evening off last night and obviously missed this because the texters have let me know. Kareth White isn't activated by the Bears because he's no longer a Chicago Bear. Was picked up by the Pittsburgh Steelers a little bit less than 24 hours ago. When players are on your practice squad, they can be signed off that squad by other NFL teams. The only way you can block it is to activate. You can't really block it, but you can convince them to stay with you because you're going to activate them. But Kareth White is now a Pittsburgh Steelers. That leaves nobody else at running back on the practice squad, and that leaves the Bears, not possibly, with two healthy running backs in Ryan Nall and, of course, Tariq Cohn, who says he's not a running back, or not a true running back, I guess is what he said. And we will wait to find out more about David Montgomery's availability. So, and then the other point that Olin just made is Trey Burton moved to injured reserve yesterday with James Vaughters re-signed because of the ongoing quad injury to Isaiah Irving. They had been using tackle Brad Sewell as a moving piece on and off the roster. He was not released this time. So apparently the three tight ends you line up with tonight are J.P. Holtz, I guess, is now number one, Ben Broniker and Bradley Sewell. So they are dangerously thin, both at running back and tight end, going into this ballgame tonight. We do have John and Dave on the phone. John, we're going to get to you guys in just a moment. John's in Dallas. You're up first. We got to take a very quick break here. And then more of the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show featuring Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley right here on 670 The Score. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mitch was confident in it. Obviously, you know, coming out of college, he was more of a shotgun guy, but, you know, did a nice job for us, and, you know, that's just something they schemed out for us.
Chicago Bears center Cody Whitehair on the Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show featuring Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkush. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. Let's get to the phone lines, guys. 312-644-6767. It's one advantage to the later starters. People are up. They're thinking. They got questions, issues going on. Let's get to John down in Dallas. John, thanks for dialing us up. How you doing?
Hey, Hub. How's everybody doing? And three quick points. Tonight, if he don't pick up the blitz, I think this he might get hurt tonight, I think, because they're going to be out to get him for revenge from the last loss. My second point is, I noticed on the sidelines, he hardly ever is studying. He has his hands folded, doing nothing. And thirdly of all, my question is, how much does he study film on his own time? Is he first in, last out right now, knowing he studies when he comes to study? I'll hang up and hear what you got to say.
Well, John, thank you much for the phone call. You know, the one thing I would caution you about is that when you're watching the TV tape and you see Mitch, you're not seeing everything he's doing on the sidelines. So I don't know, you know, how much time he spends on the iPad and with coaches and whatever, but that you got to be careful with. We are told that he's first guy in, last guy out, but only the guys who really know are the other guys who are in and out, you know? So that's the word on Mitch. And then guys, I hear what John's saying about the revenge factor, but right now the Rams and the Bears got a world of problems, you know, just with this week and last week and next week. I'd be surprised if there's a big focus on what happened a year ago.
Yeah, both teams are just trying to get a win. I mean, both teams are not to the level or even their record what they thought they would be this year after good runs. You know, the Rams going to the Super Bowl and the Bears winning their division, but this is just trying to get a win. Each team has their own major big problems, and they got to figure them out. And I think both teams feel like they can take advantage of the other team's problems, and that being the offensive line for the Bears and the offensive line, definitely for the offensive line for the Rams. And I think that's just the big worry right now for these teams is to win those mismatches.
Yeah, and if you go to John's first point about the blitz pickup, mm-hmm. right, and you're watching the game and you're kind of thinking the same thing, and I go back to the Philadelphia game, Pat and Hub, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think the Bears should take a really good look at that game for how they can win this game, right? And when they started that game, I think when you go to go on the away stand and your O-line is struggling, I'd like to see some nickel max protection. By that, I mean, look, you bring Lucas in, you got Bradley Sowell tonight, you got your tight ends are more blockers tonight than they are pass catchers. Leave them in, let them block, leave the running back in, have a seven-man protection to start the game. Just get Mitch comfortable in the pocket because right now when you go six-man protection with Montgomery and the five linemen, they're just not picking things up. Or move the pocket or screen, right? When's the last time we saw a running back screen on third down? Or how about the only thing that really has gotten your offense going in the first half is what we saw the Vikings do today to win the game. Mm-hmm. How about no huddle? Mm-hmm. How about a little bit of no huddle, get Mitch in a groove, and just get them going a little bit because I think right now they're really struggling, Hub, with six-man protection.
Well, and the other part about that, Alan, because I was thinking about this last segment, when you mentioned that Patricia went with that 6-1 defense that Vic liked to play, well, the answer to that is go pace, go no huddle. They can't get the sixth guy out there, you know.
For
so
sure.
If you see it's happening, those are the kind of adjustments you hope that they're making on the sidelines. I assume they are.
And that also kind of limits, you go no huddle, that limits Wade Phillips a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very creative on third downs of showing different looks and trying to confuse you with putting three guys on one side of the center to make sure that Aaron Donald's matched up one-on-one with somebody, walking Corey Littleton over the center with four down linemen to make sure to try to get, you know, one-on-one blocks all the way across the board. You don't know who's going to drop, and I think that's a great idea of leaving a tight end in to max protect to help them. The Rams as well struggle in that situation terribly. So Sean McVay is doing the same thing to the Rams as Nagy is doing to the Bears with their protection issues. He's not helping out at all.
Yeah,
last week against the Steelers, that's what they got a whole bunch of pressure off of.
And we hope he keeps doing that tonight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because Gurley now, he was averaging, I think he averaged 6 yards a carry last week and just didn't get the ball. But the one thing that may benefit the Bears with Trey Burton and now Shaheen, since that muff on the kickoff against the Eagles, he's got some kind of a mysterious ankle problem. But They've just become, Hub, a better run blocking team, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. now you got Bradley Sowell up, you got J.P. Holtz up, you got Lucas is going to come on the field. Ben Braunecker actually looked pretty good last week. And I was wondering, just watching the film, was he the best all-around tight end anyway, Hub?
Well, here's what's interesting about that is that Broniker, and we've gone all the way back to Bourbonnais. I remember talking to Matt Nagy and Kevin Gilbride, the tight ends coach, about this. At his core, he's more of a U than a Y, and really more the backup to Trey Burton. Well, Trey's done now. Trey's on injured reserve. I like what I've seen of J.P. Holtz. We just haven't seen much, you know. And so if they go 12 personnel with two potential pass catchers, which has got to be Holtz and Broniker, they're probably a little more dangerous now than they were with Shaheen. You know, we've only seen, I think Holtz has one catch. I think they've only targeted him a couple times. But let me bring our next caller in, because I think this is what he wants to talk about. Dave is calling from right here downtown. And, Dave, we can talk about anything you like, but my screener tells me you wanted to talk about the tight ends.
I did. Thanks for taking my call. You know, call me crazy, but I'm actually really excited to see what Broniker is going to do at tight end, which could open up this offense, because I honestly think they were just overly patient with the first two, being a high draft pick and a big free agency signing. I'm pretty excited and would love to hear what you guys think we can expect from these guys going forward. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that a healthy Broniker is definitely better than the way Trey Burton's been playing, right? And I don't know. I think Trey Burton has 17 catches on the year and a few drops.
Not a lot.
and with his injuries, Pat, really, really struggled run blocking. Was really a big part of the problem of the run game to get going. And I don't ever like to dig into guys when you don't know what their body's going through. And I don't know what he was fighting through. And that even goes for Shaheen. I don't know what he was fighting through to be on the field, because he didn't look good this year either. And you wonder if the Bears' best tight end has been on the bench all year, right? And you get to a point where you're desperate, and then now you play Broniker, and you're like, you know, you move Cody and James, and you're like, we're just going to play the guys who give us the best chance to win. And, you know, obviously Broniker beats, I think, what ended up being their third string free safety last week against the Lions in one-on-one coverage. But you can only play against
– right.
Hey, Pat, when I used to beat up on third string nose guards, I took my
those
wins.
Those good days.
Yeah, those are good wins.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field when the Wildcats host Minnesota on November 23rd. Single-game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And, you know, guys, here's the key to the whole thing. It's not even so much about how many passes they've caught, as they're not even being used. You've got Trey Burton, prior to going on IR, was targeted 24 times all year long. In 9 games, 24 targets, only had 14 catches for 84 yards. Adam Shaheen, who's the starter and supposed to be on the field for 60 minutes until he was scratched last week, 13 targets, and he's only got 9 catches. So they're not even trying to get the ball to him. You know, then you get to Broniker, 4 targets, 3 catches. J.P. Holtz, 3 targets, 2 catches. They haven't tried to throw to Brad Sowell yet. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be times tonight when we see 12 personnel with Holtz and Broniker on the field, and you know, hopefully you can run or pass, but you can certainly throw. There's also going to be times tonight when we'll probably see 12 personnel with Cornelius Lucas and Bradley Sowell. Now you know they're almost certainly running the football, unless maybe this is where you want to try a screen or something like that. But at some point, maybe what they're saying is we just got to go physically win some battles here, and let's not worry about outsmarting guys with the look that we're giving them.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that, because you get the better blockers out there. You know what you're getting with Lucas and Sowell out there. So you know that you're going to get protection. You're not worried about your protection if they're going to throw it, and you know in the run game they're going to give you much better run fits than the tight ends that were in there before. And then back to Ben Broniker, I had a question for Bernstein and McKnight after on Monday when I go on with them. He made that catch was great, Nolan. You're right. It was against the third string safety, but would Adam Shaheen have made that catch? Probably not, right? That was a pretty spectacular catch. I mean, that was an athletic catch, a great stem on his route to get open. I'm interested to see how much he can produce with the extra time he's going to get.
Yeah, and what you really want to see tonight is Nagy kind of flip it on its head, right? And by that I mean his offense, he leaves his offense opened up. Little deeper, 5-step drops, Mitch a little longer in the pocket, not moving the pocket at all, not running the ball. And then when they struggle, then we go to this Lucas on the field, I formation, run the ball downhill, play action pass. We had a few really good sprint out plays last week that kind of got Mitch in a groove. But some sprint outs, some boots, which you'll see a lot. The Rams try to do a lot tonight. But just kind of, I wish he would, his first drive, kind of, max protection, try to run the ball, sprint, boot. Just get a few first downs, get your quarterback warmed up like the Lions did with Driscoll last week. Just kind of got him moving around. You know, like I would even, if I'm a coach, Hub, I tell Mitch, hey, Mitch, on this first zone read, keep it and go get yourself hit. Like run downhill as hard as you can and try to, you know what, you do me a favor, run that guy over.
Yeah.
Let's see if that gets you in the game, right? Let's see if that gets you going a little bit, gets your blood flowing a little bit. I know people are probably thinking, well, I hope he doesn't get hurt, Olin, and that's true too. But just kind of switch it up a little
sure.
bit because you've been opening it up with your with the way you like to run the offense, and the offense has been struggling the whole first half.
It was interesting, you talk about that Lions first drive last week. When I'm watching that, I'm like, why aren't the Bears doing that?
Right.
Everything they ran looked like everything you just described that you want to see. And it hurt the Bears' defense, obviously. They stopped them and only gave up 3 points, but got them down the field.
I'll give you guys one prediction, something I would bet anything that we're going to see tonight is two tight ends, 12 personnel, whatever you want to call it, and the two tight ends are going to be Bradley Sowell and either Holtz or Broniker, and they're going to run a route for Sowell. And the reason I can almost guarantee it is because it's not on tape anywhere through the first 5 weeks of the season. You know, and so the hope is that they're not covering it, that he catches the damn ball. Guys, we got a great lineup for you tonight on our Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. You know, we really have kind of fallen in love with, and I can't remember if it was Olin or Patrick's idea, so I'm giving credit to both of them because it wasn't mine. Pat's pointing at Olin.
But it was our idea.
The Where Are They Now segment has been
a ton of fun.
Yeah, we got a guy tonight. Jason McKee is going to join us at 5 o'clock. Jason, of course, a fullback on those great teams of the mid-aughts, I guess you call it. And I think, Olin, you retweeted it because I had not seen this in like 10 years, but I remembered it as soon as I saw it, and I believe it was against the Rams, where McKee literally just lowered his shoulder and took somebody's head off. Mm-hmm. It actually turned out to be just the helmet, but it went flying.
Good thing Miles Garrett wasn't in the area, right?
Exactly.
Nobody's getting hit.
But Jason has stayed in the Chicago area, very successful in training young athletes, and by the way, has a son at Northern Illinois who's playing some very good football right now. So we're going to visit with Jason at 5 o'clock. Mark Grody will be around right around 6 o'clock with the inactives. Our buddy Dan Pompey at 6:40. We'll continue to take your calls if you like. At 312-644-6767, and a ton more to get to. I think we'll change it up after the break. We'll give you some quick thoughts on the Garrett stuff and the Kaepernick stuff, and then we'll get back to all Bears and Rams after that. All coming up right now on 670 The Score.
Well, okay. I just, you know, played against him in college, you know, and I didn't even thought he was that type of guy, you know what I mean? Just, you know, playing against him and seeing him play, I never seen him do anything like that. So it was kind of out of the ordinary. Like, we watched the game, like, what? Like, he... Miles Garrett doing that, like, that's, you know, that's crazy, but that's just kind of crazy. I want to see what the league is going to do about that too, because, you know, you got to set an example, you know. So it's,
right.
Yeah, it's just gonna be crazy, I think.
Chicago Bears All-Pro safety Eddie Jackson talking about Miles Garrett, and obviously because of the incident that occurred in the Browns-Steelers game on Thursday night. Eddie now has seen what the league is going to do. Miles Garrett has been suspended indefinitely, but minimally for the remainder of this regular season and the playoffs, should the Browns make it into the playoffs. He will also have to be cleared by the league office, a.k.a. Roger Goodell, before he can be reinstated. So all we know is what the minimum penalty is at this point. Marquise Pouncey, the starting center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, has been suspended 3 games for going after Garrett, and I think probably more for kicking him than for the punches he was throwing. One of the Browns defensive tackle, I can't remember his name, also got a 1-game suspension. Interestingly enough, I haven't heard of anything from Mason Rudolph yet. And while obviously the focus is on Garrett, when you study the tape from the beginning, you will see that Rudolph did do some instigating. So no excuse. This is just me. I'll let you guys offer your opinions. Rudolph was fine, you're saying, Adam. Do you know how much?
I'm not sure. I'm going to look it up right now.
All right, yeah, check on that because I had not heard about that fine yet. He did nothing to justify what happened, but he definitely was an instigator, and it would not, I don't think, be appropriate to punish all these other guys and give him a pass. You know, at the end of the day, guys, my take is real simple on it. What Garrett did can't happen. It was terribly dangerous, and it's not part of the game. I do not believe all these crazy, you know, let's, you know, throw him in jail and this and that. You don't take it off the field. It happened on the field. You keep it on the field. And hopefully you discipline him in such a way that not only he will remember and learn and not let it happen again, but that other players will see it's a significant enough discipline to make sure that they're to do the best they can not to end up in that moment. Because I think what we forget, and this is the hard part about this, is I don't believe there was anything premeditated about it. He didn't set out to rip off somebody's helmet and try and hit him in the head with it. So I have a little bit of sympathy for him, but at the end of the day, you just got to remember where you are and you can't let something like that happen.
Yeah. I mean, if we're just talking about the situation, right? Everything on that field, Pat, as former players, you're watching and you're thinking, ah, okay. And then he swings the helmet and you're like, oh man, I don't know. And you can feel in that moment he just did something that he'll be remembered for. And that sucks for a guy who's 23 years old and from a guy who has made a few dumb mistakes in my time in situations like that. It just sucks to see someone do that because his emotions got the best of him, right? And you go to a point of where's he from? You know, where'd he grow up? What's his story? What's his backstory? What was he taught growing up? Was he taught like if someone kicks you in the nuts, you do whatever you got to do to get him back? And if you're hearing that all the time, and the reason I bring that up is when I was growing up, I was taught by my family, you fight every fight. So I did. That's what I did through all my 20s, right? You just, if anybody wanted to fight, you fight them. Win, lose, or draw, you fight them. And sometimes when you're, it's just too bad that he's 23. Like Hub, I don't want him out of the NFL. He's already going to be remembered for this. But I don't know how you justify taking someone's helmet off and swinging it at them. The only thing I can think is when he got kicked in the nuts, his emotions got the best of him.
Guys, real quick, Mason Rudolph's fine. It hasn't been officially fined yet, but Adam Schefter tweeted this morning that he's going to be fined, and the collective bargaining agreement says that the first penalty for fighting is $35,000, so that would be what would be most likely expected, I guess, but they haven't officially fined him yet, but he's expected to be fined.
Thank you. Adam Studzinski, our executive producer of the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. It's interesting to me, though, Studs, because I knew I hadn't heard about the fine yet. They didn't have to wait for Garrett and for Pouncey and for Ogunzamore. I can't remember the guy's name. Everybody else got taken care of, so you almost wonder if this isn't now the bad look that you can't give him a pass, and you know, Adam's reporting this. You know, guys, I think the other thing about it is that, you know, you just, if you haven't been in that moment, I don't know how you judge it. You can tell the right or wrong of it, okay? But I'm anxious to talk to Dan Pompey. Danny joins us every week. He's going to be here in our final hour. And I saw a tweet from Dan where he said he spent some time with Garrett earlier this season and that he came away from it feeling that there was kind of two different things going on there in terms of getting to know him. And you know, it's just my job as a reporter to remind everybody that this is the third incident he's been punished for this year. He had already been fined a total of $50,000. He took a swing at somebody in one game, and then in another game, he had two late hits on Trevor Siemian with the Jets. The second one, and again, wasn't intentional, but the second one ended Trevor Siemian's season. So this now becomes a series of events, and that's another reason that this suspension is so significant.
No, and I understand the suspension. You know, like Olin said, you can't swing a helmet. But when guys are on the field, there is an intensity that is, you really can't describe it unless you're on the sideline. And Hub, you've been on many a sideline, mm-hmm. that when you're out there playing, the intensity is so turned up, you become a different person. Even I did as a long snapper, that you have to, it's almost you just become a, just enraged that you're defending yourself, you're battling somebody every play, or you're doing whatever you're doing, but you just turn into a different human. And I think he went to that next step, obviously. And when he did it, he probably said, "What the heck did I just do? Dang it!
Yeah,
That's wrong. I shouldn't have done that." But he reacted, and it was wrong.
Yeah, and you like Pat's saying, and I don't think that when you go into this, I know sometimes people listen to you talk about it and they think you're trying to justify what he did.
No.
You're just trying to help them understand that when you walk onto a football field and you're in the middle of a game, the intensity level you're playing at is something, when you're a former player and you do like radio and TV, You don't like to pull the card out a lot, but it's just right. something you won't understand.
Right.
Right. And you are on this edge of playing a very violent game against, this isn't high school football, this isn't college, against the best football players in the world. And usually the best football players in the world are the most violent football players in the world. So I always tell people, I'm always shocked in a violent game when actual violence breaks out that people are shocked. I'm not.
Right.
Right? I'm not when fights break out and things like that. And even though you're surprised he did that, you're not shocked
no.
that he went there, because he's already on that verge. And I went to Cleveland to help out Bob Wiley when Garrett got drafted. And I got to meet him, and he is a really quiet guy, but you can tell he's an intense young man who loves to play the games of football, and like all great players, plays it on the edge. And look, if you go back to all the heroes we loved back in the day, that's the way they played football. They were trying to take someone's head off, and we're in a different time and we're in a different era. But you also have to understand just that the mentality he was playing with that day in a Cleveland versus Pittsburgh on national television, and all of a sudden a quarterback is trying to rip at his face. And it doesn't justify what he did, but maybe you can understand it a little bit.
Let's get to the other story of the weekend, and then we're going to get back to Bears-Rams. Guys, there's not a lot to report here, but I think it's worth hearing in the Garrett situation from guys who played the game in Patrick and Olin. What I keep calling the Colin Kaepernick clown show, because I don't know what else to call it. At the end of the day, I have no idea what the NFL's motives were for creating this mess in the first place, okay? And what I will never believe is that they did it with the best interests of Colin Kaepernick at heart. But what I will also never believe is I don't think they did it to hurt him. I don't think the goal was let's get even with Colin Kaepernick. And regardless of what they set up here and how they set it up, if Colin Kaepernick's main goal in life is to get back into the NFL, his chances of working out in front of 25 teams were a hell of a lot better than they are making guys go 60 miles south and having only 8 teams come with you. And so, you know, I'm not defending anybody here, but Colin Kaepernick screwed himself, because regardless of what the NFL's motives were, he had a chance to work out in front of 25 teams. And they weren't going to then go, you know, destroy the videotape, or they weren't doing it to try and punish him. And I've been one, I wrote 6 weeks ago that the Bears should take a look at Colin Kaepernick. What I didn't know is where he was at mentally. And now where I'm seeing where he's at mentally is he's still got things that are clearly more important to him than getting a job in the NFL. And so if he doesn't get signed here, I think he's got nobody to blame but himself.
One thing I will say about that, though, is you got a guy who's obviously been, I turned his film on when he played for Chip Kelly for the 49ers just to see for myself what this man looks like when he plays football. The whole workout thing baffles me. I think he's got almost 60 starts in the NFL. So if you want to just check if he's in shape, that's fine. A guy, first of all, you get blackballed from the NFL, right? You should be in the NFL. That's personal. Like that starts to eat at you. Now, if the NFL didn't consult this man about how they want to do this and his team and sit in a room and say, what is the best way to do this? For me, it feels like it's a CYA move by the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's personal. Now I don't want to be told where to go, what to do, and you're just lucky we put this on for you, because you're going to be lucky when the team picks you up. I understand that Kaepernick, in his own way, said, no, I'm not doing it that way. I'm not going to do it that way. My team should have been consulted. I should have been consulted. Yes, I want back in the league, but not only on your terms, not only the way you want me, only where you want me to work out, almost like you got to do it our way or you're never in the league again. And that's the way I would have felt if I was Colin Kaepernick.
Hub, I want to go back to the grievance that Eric Reed and Kaepernick filed against the NFL. I think you know more about it. What came out of that? They got a money settlement. What was said why they got the money settlement?
Well, I mean, there's a gag order on both sides, mm-hmm. so they're not going to tell us why, but the fact that they got money
right.
is the NFL limiting exposure. But what was reported, and I think what both sides confirmed, is it did not restrict them or prohibit them from filing additional suits down the road if there was more damage done. And so I agree with Olin. I think this was all about the league covering its ass. Again, I'm not choosing sides here.
Right.
And I mean, listen, I think Kaepernick absolutely has been screwed. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind that Colin Kaepernick is probably one of the 15 or 20 best quarterbacks in the country right now.
That's kind of what I was getting at. The both parties are at fault here. They didn't go about it the best way. And like you said, Olin, sit down in a room and really hammer out the details.
From
the contract he needs to sign to do this to exactly where he's going to be.
You got to treat guys fairly, right? Like if Hub, for some reason, gets blackballed off of all Chicago radio, and then they're going to, hey, Hub, if you want any chance, you got to show up at this room. They never talk to you. You got to show up at this room at this time, and you're just lucky. You're just lucky with giving you a shot. I don't know. I understand all the, you know, he could have got signed here. I understand all of that. I'm just saying, if it was me, I might have stuck the middle finger at them too and said, no. I know, like you didn't talk to us. Now I got this going on. You're telling me exactly where to show up after it's obvious that I'm one of the better quarterbacks. I mean, I watched the film.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. Right. I mean, obviously, he struggles reading the field. Yeah, you know, the game plan. I was kind of scary because I was like, wow, I'd beat him like you beat Mr. Trubisky. I keep him in the pocket, make him read the field. But if you give this man a few zone reads and let him throw the ball, this is a pretty good quarterback now.
Well, I mean, Pat just mentioned I've been on the sidelines. I mean, I've done about a half a dozen of his games and had a few one-on-one interviews with him afterwards. Guys, he's not the best quarterback I've ever seen, but I have never seen another guy play the position physically the way he does. I mean, a man his size – with his speed and his arm strength, the only arm I've ever seen like, well, there's two now, but the only other arms I've seen like that are Brett Favre and Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes obviously has better control of his than Kaepernick did. He's accomplished more in one season. But at the end of the day, guys, all I'm saying here is that what he ended up doing was pissing off 17 teams so badly that it made taken the trouble. I'm not defending anybody, but I mean, he's got to realize that he's got to just take responsibility for the end result. Okay. I get what you're saying, Olin. I don't disagree with you, but here he had a chance to work out for 25 teams and clearly chose not to. And you can't come back now and continue to talk about how they're not giving me a chance when you're the reason that 17 of them left. And again, maybe your reasons were good.
25 teams that refused to sign him though, for what's going on three years now. But, interesting thing about Cap and the great years he had is, Greg Roman is the same guy down in Baltimore now, right? And he's the same guy that was in Buffalo, and Tyrod Taylor had those great years too. So interesting coach there. But I, all I'm saying, Hub, is sometimes both sides can be wrong. And for me, that's Cap's side where he's like, okay, now you want me to just say, oh, okay, let me come over there. And I mean, are these teams not pissed off at him already anyway? I mean, did he really screw himself that bad? They've been keeping out of the league now for 3 years.
You know, I don't know. We got to take a break here. I'm going to go now, Adam. I listen, he's been blackballed. I don't think anybody can debate that. But I don't know. I mean, of the 32 teams, there's got to be a dozen and a half with good reasons for not signing him that may have nothing to do, you know, with the fact he's being blackballed. I don't know what anybody's political leanings are. We don't want to go there because then the show will go off in the wrong direction. At the end of the day, I just, you know, he may feel better about himself for what he did yesterday, but in the end, it clearly lessens his chances of one of these teams picking him up. Now, whether they were going to or not, that I don't know. You know, guys, we're going to take a break here. I started to give the phone number, but I can't because we got a special guest coming up. It's Where Are They Now? Right after this, former Chicago Bears fullback Jason McKee joins us in just a moment here on the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.